Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here to have another conversation that I'm hoping helps your business grow. Now, you've listened to some episodes recently about podcasting. And yes, we're going to do another podcast about podcasting. So recently you heard an episode and we talked with, or I talked with Hernan CS of the Business Bros podcast. And we just literally talked about launching a podcast. We chuckled about how the subject matter included could be expanded into several different episodes. So I'm going to begin to expand on some of that, but I wanted to bring some other subject matter experts in. Before we get too far into that, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Now, so many people have asked me how to monetize a podcast. I gave a speech in late 2019 at Global Entrepreneurship Week here in Kansas City. Had about 100 people there learning how to launch a podcast. In the very beginning, I asked, how many of you want to start a podcast because you want to or think you're going to make that your job? 80% of people raised their hands. I knew I was in a little bit of trouble when that came up. And, you know, I broke a few hearts after that. Now, we're going to talk all about that today, all about monetizing the podcast. So I brought in an expert, and I've got with me today, I've got Tiffany Younger. And Tiffany's the founder of the OMH agency. And she's also got the Next Up Nation podcast, where she's the host. She's out of Billings, Montana, which is a huge city in Montana, but a small city compared to most, but proving the power of the worldwide reach of the podcast. And this is really good stuff. Now, scroll down to the show notes. You can go to nextnation.com to follow along with some of the information about Tiffany and her business. But let's go ahead and just welcome you first. Tiffany, welcome to Startup Hustle.
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk about podcasting. Hopefully, we don't break too many hearts today.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to mend them. I like the idea of mending them with solutions. And, you know, everyone wants to talk about monetizing a podcast. Now, before we get into that, how about a little bit about your backstory? Tell us about what brought you to current time.
Yeah, well, I've been an entrepreneur since my early 20s. So that was at least a couple decades or so ago. And we've done things from coffee shops. My husband and I were in real estate and really successful at that, had our own brokerage and our own investments and everything that goes along with it. And fast forward to moving to the great city of Billings, Montana. My husband and I moved here with no jobs, but we both knew that we knew a thing or two about how to do a thing or two. So I ended up in marketing. I ended up starting my own company. helped my daughter do some PR. She was Miss Montana Teen. And so that made me go, you know, I just need to do marketing. And that was a few years ago. And since then, we were focused on content marketing, web development. And I started my own podcast because, you know, it was about 3 years ago. So plenty of people were doing it, but not very many. So people were still wondering, especially in Billings, they're like, what's a podcast? Why would I do that? But I loved it. I was one of those people who were like, you know, if I this is all I did, that would be so fun. But, you know, we kept our day job. We kept helping people build websites and such. And as 2020 rolled around and everything was changing, one thing remained the same was that I love podcasting and a lot more people were getting into it and asking for help. And we had been monetizing our podcast using a lot of the systems that we'll talk about today. And I've also developed some really incredible systems when it comes to promotion. And so we just went full board into that. And the only thing I think I like better than podcasting myself is helping people get to that point where they're able to monetize. You know, podcasting is fun until you don't make money at it for long enough. It's not fun anymore. So getting people over that hump where they're able to get well known, but still be able to underwrite it and have it thrive. So that's what we do now.
Well, you know, you use the term underwrite, and that's actually a good term because, you know, if you do all of this long enough, at some point you have to begin to pay for it. And you there's ways to justify that. And, you know, we talked about a little of that in some of the recent content. And I'm not kidding. You know, there really was commentary made about the whole, like, you know, it's one thing to start it and it's really easy. You know, the great thing about podcasting is it's free. You know, like, and it's so there, you don't have to climb over that barrier to entry of someone buying it from you. At the same time, it's free. So there are some expectations that come with it. And, you know, part of what we talked about in the, you know, how to launch a podcast commentary, which you will openly say is not what you're trying to help businesses do. Like, everyone's exactly doing it, but you have to first begin to establish what exactly it is that you want to accomplish. And that can, you know, to build your business, your brand, to raise awareness and, you know, like come into it with some realistic expectations. So as far as that goes and with monetizing a show, I mean, before we get into some of your pillars of success, I mean, is there any like overarching theme or anything else that anyone needs to know?
Oh, well, I think the biggest thing that really drives me is number one, I feel like a lot of people aren't noticed who should be. And usually if I run into someone like that, I'm full board. Like, we need to work, you know, like you need to get known. But the other thing is that if anyone is doing a podcast because they just want to, I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but I know you're very open about, you know, busting things up. But so often people are like, oh, I just want to help people, right? And that's great, but it only lasts so long. So being able to help people means that you need to have something sustainable. Otherwise, you're not helping anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that was some of what we talked about in the past episodes about, you know, what's your intent? And I see a lot of people go to start an episode or they go to start a podcast. I see it on social media. And the first thing I'm thinking is like, how are you getting past episode 8? You know, or 5, or it's like so overly specific. I mean, with Startup Hustle, we left it broad intentionally because, you know, you got to keep talking. It's got to be meaningful. It's got to, in the end, it's got to make sense for you. It's got to make sense for something along the way. But, you know, anytime you choose to do something in life, you're choosing to not do something else. So you got to begin to get to an ROI in your business that makes sense. And, you know, like, and there's, you know, you can create leads, you can do a whole lot of different stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about. I'm going to let you lead because you've got some, you know, you've got 3 ways to monetize a podcast that you're pretty specific about. So I'll go ahead and let you start and I'll follow.
Well, and I liked where you were going too. I feel a lot of times people are very tactically minded. So it's like, oh, I need to use a podcast to make money, or I need to use a podcast to, you know, get better known. And really, as in any kind of marketing, you really need to be vision driven and then go with the strategy. And I always say, yeah, I help people with podcasts, which is really shorthand. We start with a file. So it just happens right now. Podcasts are cool. And I love podcasting. So that's what we start with. But it's really the same when it comes to monetization. Who we have, there are three pillars that we really look at when we're planning out a podcast. We do this for our own. We've done this. I've had two other podcasts. We did the same thing for the second one, actually, based on what we learned from the first one. And the first thing is what we call strategic guesting. I had a podcast all of last year and into the year before called Breakaway Agent. And I interviewed top real estate agents all around the country, and some of which were from other countries. And part of, actually, 90% of that had to do with me wanting to meet top agents. I didn't want to meet just people who dabbled in it. And so that's what led us to strategic guesting, is using it as a way to prospect your ideal clients. Because number one, they're going to provide amazing content to their peers. And so not only are you looking at how to monetize, but you're also building a better audience with better content because you're looking at experts. From when I interview somebody who is a potentially ideal client, if I want a consultation afterwards, I usually get a consultation afterwards, almost always. And a lot of that has to do with just the whole dynamic of podcasting. One thing that you had mentioned earlier is that, you know, it's relationships. People who are good at podcasting and they're it's something that they can keep at and it's growing and people are attracted to, is that they they know their topic and they're going for the top people. And so, yeah. So like I said, by the end, I expect to have a consultation out of this part of my sales pipeline. So one of the segments in the strategic guesting is that ideal clients. The other is current clients. So bringing on current clients who could share their stories and you can ask them questions, and that increases the lifetime value of your clients. They're more loyal. They're more likely to, you know, see the value that you're providing them and upgrade, and you can increase the value of their purchases. Another segment are what we call joint venture partnerships. We call it, partner placements. That's actually one of the other pillars, but that's part of our guesting as well.
Hang on one second, because I do want to get into that. But, when it comes to strategic guesting, I had a couple comments here, and I'm diligently taking notes, just so you know. So those of you listening that know that sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Now, look, there's lots of ways to provide value for your business. And this is where I wanted to throw this in there, because I talked about this a little bit in my recent presentation. So, you know, monetizing your podcast doesn't, and okay, so people are all hung up on ads and sponsors, and that's great, but there's in many ways. So, you know, here we are well into over 400 episodes of Startup Hustle. And I can tell you that even though we have started letting outside entities sponsor our episodes, we have created more value for our business at Full Scale and also for the Startup Hustle brand through the relationships. And, you know, you talk about experts, clients, influencers are building that. Until you've actually sat down and done a show with someone and gotten to know them, it's difficult to explain the fact that you have a different relationship with that person at the end of the show. Now, I first learned this, part of what really made me want to do a podcast is, well, I've written three books, and two of them came out prior to ever having done a podcast episode. So I learned that, well, my often host and business partner, Matt Watson, was in one of my books. So I realized that relationship really changed. And you talk about, you get to know people, you talk to them about what they're passionate about. And, you know, the strategic guesting is a really amazing approach. It's the approach that we took. Now, that didn't mean that we would only have guests that would potentially become clients or sponsors, but we wanted people that were closely related to the subject matter of entrepreneurship and startups, meaning like any early stage business, because the relationship we would have with them would often lead to referrals and a lot of different stuff. Now, if you're in business school, they teach you to, I specifically remember a conversation with our COO at Fullscale a couple of years ago, and he goes, I'm just really having a hard time tracking the ROI of the podcast. And I said, dude, stop trying, because you're just going to drive yourself crazy, because it's difficult to draw the lines back to where that occurs. So, you know, if you have the ability to get in front of the people that you want to learn from, that you want to do business from, or you want referrals from, I think that pretty much describes strategic guesting, doesn't it?
Yeah. And another segment are rock stars. I always say, like, bring in some rock stars as well. Number one, it helps you get additional guests in the future, but it also builds you as a podcaster. It makes you better. But, you know, back to what you're asking about strategic guesting. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the relationships are always the number one thing when you talk to a successful podcaster. Always. You know, I've been interviewing a lot of top podcasters, and that is the common theme. Relationship, relationship, relationship. And when, you know, it's not right for everybody to potentially get clients from having them on as guests, but if you can, whether it's a client or if you're in recruiting. I also spoke at Digital Marketer for their certified partners about this idea of recruiting and bringing on people, because at that time, you know, it was really hard to get programmers and people like that. And so by bringing them on as a guest, the dynamic's the same for everybody. You know, there's a pre-interview where you're nurturing them and letting them know what's going to happen. Here's some tools to make it better. Here's some tools to get the most out of the interview. And then you're on the interview with them. You get to know them. You break the ice. And I talked to people who were on HGTV the day before, and then they came on my show, and they were nervous still. So being able to coach them through that, so that they're having a good time in the first 5 or so minutes. And then by the end, you've asked them all these questions about, hey, tell me how amazing you are. So you're really amazing. So tell me again, like, how amazing are you? And so by the end, they're just like, this is the funnest thing ever, you know? And then at the end, when I close it, we actually have what I call 20 minutes of gold at the end. And so if you go into the interview and you know exactly the type of, like, you never exactly know, but I generally have an idea with each guest what outcome I could see having at the end. And if I still see that at the end of the interview, I do what I call 20 minutes of gold. And first thing I ask everybody is, so tell me, what was your overall impression of this experience? And again, just psychologically, it's like it just pins it down again. It's like, yes, it was great. It was awesome. And then it's, what was your favorite nugget? Again, how brilliant are you? Tell me one more time how brilliant you are. And then we'll lead into, you know, what this relationship is going to look like beyond this interview. And whether it's a rock star, a potential client, an existing client, or a strategic alliance, that 20 minutes of gold is so valuable that you're able to get referrals, not only for potential clients, but other guests. You can get the rock star guests you've always wanted out of those. So yeah, those relationships, you can't always tack an ROI on it, but it's really the most valuable thing you'll ever get out of podcasting.
We have legitimately had real rock stars on this show.
I believe
partially
it.
Just from, well, it was from my act. I worked in the music industry for okay. Almost a decade. So I mentioned having 3 books. The last one was The Realist Guide to a Successful Music Career. So we had some very interesting relationships there. And, you know, that was the thing is look at the twist on your own business, because if you start bands or startups too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, where does your angle play and all that? That was very well said, and you have great points there. Look, you got to make it fun. You make it fun for the people that are on your show. You got to make it easy for them to book. And much like Tiffany said, and she'll attest to this, because I'm looking at a list of notes that are here that we talk about, like, what we want to accomplish. I ask our guests ahead of time, you know, what are 3 suggested topics that you want to talk about, or 3 key messages that you want to get out? Because oftentimes you can have someone that they do X, but they're so passionate and so versed at Y. And that's what, you know, you want to get into. I mean, I've had people on here that on the show that we're talking about things that aren't even related to the business that they will call their day job, but they are like very, very well versed at something else. And that's I think as long as you pick a topic that your guests are passionate about, you're in good space. Okay.
Well, and so how you do one
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if you can't find common ground that your guest is excited about, there's always a way to turn it into the topic at hand. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's
there.
Okay.
As I hear my children screaming in the other room, by the way. So I hope you all enjoyed that as well. Go remote recording. We talked about being able to reach the world from anywhere. That's the way it goes. So let's move on to your next pillar about partner placement, and let's hear your thoughts about that, and we'll see if we agree or disagree.
Awesome. Well, partner placement, I feel like, even as short as a year ago, even probably 8 months ago, it was really all about sponsorships and advertisements. And the rule, you know, the school of thought was you had to have six-figure downloads before you could even think about advertising. And now there are more and more opportunities to have sponsorships and advertisement. And I feel like that's great. And it's easy enough to go onto a website and do that. What I'm talking about is, again, back to the relationships and having opportunities to monetize a collaboration. And that can look like a million different things. It could be, you know, joint ventures on different projects. It could be, in fact, I'm not monetizing it at this point because we're just launching, but this is what it's rolling into, is having a segment where you've got someone who has a following, they're in a related field within an industry, so you share the same audience, but they get to have a piece on your podcast. It especially works when it's someone who doesn't have their own podcast, but they do have a decent following, and then you're producing their podcast, and then they, you know, pitch in and help with a sponsorship, but they also are not just providing an advertisement, but actual content. So for example, something for us would be, I've got this friend who's got like these really great history knowledge, and he's got all these interesting stories. I've got another friend who is a huge podcaster and helps people with joint ventures, and he'll be doing a segment on the highs and lows of podcasting. So just things like that where you can collaborate. And then of course there's the traditional sponsorships, of course, as well.
So those given partner placements are interesting. Now, one of the things, and I'm going to kind of do a little cross tie in here. So that would require a little more editing. And if you're ready to do that, and I'm assuming you're talking about like pre-recorded pieces. So, mm-hmm. And I always like to kind of put things into context. So if we were talking about raising money for a startup, and I was talking to someone's particular experience or how they had gone through that, we may have in a partner placement environment, that's where we may cut into some input or knowledge transfer from a venture capitalist or someone like that. Is that the context that you mean?
That's a really good example of that. I mean, again, with each relationship, it could be a different thing. It could also be, I have a guest on, we get to know each other, we get through the 20 minutes of gold, and it's like, we have the same audience, you do something I don't do, let's share an email list and do a joint promotion together. Or, but, you know, I think with what you're saying was more like the partner placement with the segment where they were able to include content. I'm so bad. Like, I know, you know, I think advertisements are great. I don't have any complaints about other people doing it. For myself, I always have this filter of I want to protect the content. And so if we decide to do a sponsorship or something like that, I want to have as much control as possible over it. And so your example, I think, was perfect because it, again, would tie into the content. But I imagine people listening right now, they're like, oh, I've got, Jiffy Lube guy, and, you know, I bake cakes, you just want to also protect your audience as well. But there's just a lot of opportunities to team up and, yeah, and have content and also.
And you just need to be thoughtful about that, you know, like you mentioned, and it depends on, you know, and some of these past episodes that we've had. And by the way, come join us in the Startup Hustle chat. We announced some of these things. We're trying to be better ourselves at doing some of it. Cause honestly, we in the past have left a lot of relationship and partnership opportunities just kind of floating. Cause this podcast is on many days our hobby. You know, and I enjoy the conversations I have with different people from all over the world about this. And, you know, now when I say being thoughtful, it's like, you gotta, you know, that like, if you hear me talk about launching a podcast, like we hit record on this and we publish this warts and all, whether I've got a child screaming or the guys that just pulled up in front of where I'm recording and unloaded several lawnmowers and weed eaters. Now part of that, because we like that streamlined approach. Now, you know, some people want to have, I'll throw myself under a more professional production. But that thoughtfulness is where you're now beginning to expand on these relationships. And another example of that partner placement that could occur, well, look at my own business. So we use our own business, Full Scale. So, you know, brought to you by fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Now, in this particular case for Startup Hustle, that's pretty laser sharp. Like I assume that a lot of our listeners are in that. Now, you could have a general kind of ad, like you mentioned Jiffy Lube. And, you know, when you say that, now that's going to come down to some of which is about the genre you choose. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets more and more difficult. So, you know, you have these niche subjects. So like for us, it's not about the number of downloads. It's about who's listening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so don't get hung up on the download numbers, because you say, oh, you got to have six-figure downloads, you got to do this, you got to do that. Okay, I'd rather have a smaller number of listeners that are laser sharp than a wide array where you're hitting and missing on 90% of them. So don't get hung up on the download numbers and where it matters. Now, if you have a true crime podcast and any type of listener might be out there, then Jiffy Lube might be a great solution. that would probably, even though everyone has a car and everyone changes their oil eventually, that would be the kind of sponsor that we would likely turn down.
Well, you need to be on brand. Right. And so for me,
and that's the point.
I could be sponsored by restaurants, because anybody who's listened to any number of my podcasts knows I'm a huge foodie, comes up every single episode. So if all of a sudden I had a different restaurant that was hosting it, that would not be shocking. If I, you know, talked about plumbing one day and had a plumber in, like, that would be weird, because anyone who knows me knows that I'll do anything not to go to the plumbing section at Lowe's. And if you are your brand, it needs to be like, it needs to be on brand. So like what you're talking about, true crime. Yeah. I mean, if you're totally morbid about it and weird, like, you could get some really fun adjacent sponsors, you know. And I think that's the thing too, is you can be creative. And, you know, I talked to a real estate agent. He had this real passion for helping attorneys start their own businesses. So, you know, obviously, like in real estate, having an attorney on your show would make sense, but you can do adjacent topics if it's something that makes total sense when people are listening to your show. Like somebody might hear something, you know, on a marketing show, and that would be totally normal in Montana or hunting, you know.
Sure, but. Sure. And you have a good point, you know, consider where your audience can or might be. Now, we've been fortunate enough to have listeners from 190 countries in any given month. 90% of those are here in the U.S. And you know, we just kind of, you can make some assumptions. Now, one of the things is with podcasting is the analytics are very, very primitive at this point. Like, you know, when you're getting downloads, where they're coming from, maybe how much of the average show that's listened to, but you often don't know who these people are. And people ask, well, how many subscribers do you have? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We don't know. Well, how do you not know? Because people listen to podcasts in about 1,000 different places right now, and not all those places tell you. And in some cases, you know, like we use specific an enterprise platform to get it, to get the show out and do that stuff. And it does the best it can. But your numbers are probably that you're seeing are probably lower than what they might be, because some of these aggregators grab your episode and then they play it from where they're at. They may not do that from every single episode, but if you have a popular show, that's it. So don't get hung up on the downloads. Now, one thing I want to point out that you're not hearing Tiffany talk about is inserting random boring ad roll. As you know, I did mention in the when I talked in our other, it's that can work for some people, but when you talk about the kind of these partner placements, you're actually having a relationship with the partner themselves, not just inserting X, blah, blah, blah. Now for us, that's part of our pitch when it comes to sponsorship, because we, meaning I or the other hosts that are on the show, we read the ad, and therefore it lives in perpetuity in the episode. Now, all 400 plus episodes at the time of recording get listened to every month. Mm-hmm. And there's a value to that. Now when you're inserting those ad rolls, first off, what I've experienced is that is the most remarkable way to get pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. From what you will, my wife would make fun of me just saying pennies like that. She likes to make fun of when I say tan. I'm sorry, my Kansas
is showing.
I know it came out there. I sorry. I like to throw myself under the bus when I get it. I'm spending so much time with a voice coach said never. But you know, you talk about these partnerships. Do you find personally that the value of what you can get out of those relationships is significantly higher when you have the relationship with the sponsor/partner?
Yes. It just depends on how much you value being able to go back to somebody who has a dynamic life just like you and ask them for something at any time in the future. You know, you really have that kind of a relationship. I've been able to, I had someone on my show, Breakaway Agent, super phenomenal woman, a global mentor, multiple books, like just amazing, amazing person. Huge following. And she just did my Next Step Nation show because she believed in what I'm doing. And we had a relationship that I could go back and say, hey, I'm doing this other thing. And she's able to, again, share what she knows and connections and referrals and things like that. So those relationships that you build are incredibly valuable. And just like that episode you were talking about where people listen to it later, those relationships live on if you nurture them at all. Like, they're busy people, so they don't want an email every day, but they know you. And so you can just pick up the phone or zip them a text and check in with them. So
I'm a big connector. Honestly, I actually often will refer to myself as being in the business of connecting people to people. So, you know, as many shows as we've done, and, you know, I'm often connecting guests to other guests. And, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you or someone else, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, oh, I remember this person that I talked to about that. And then it doesn't always happen right away. You know, meaning like I put it on my list, and when I get to that, I make that intro. But the same thing can go with you and your partners. Now, like, people want to sponsor or partner with your show because they look, you got to be prepared to say, look, I'm in this for you too. You know, we talked about, you know, podcasting is the new talk radio. But one thing, if there's one station that everyone's tuned into, and that's WIIFM, which the call letters that stand for What's In It For Me. Mm-hmm. And you need to that's what is going to keep people continuing their partner relationship with you. In some businesses, you're sitting there thinking, you know, what do you get for an episode, or what's it worth? You know, you look at professional services companies, and like in our case, and, you know, I'll just throw out a free shout out for Crown CFO. And that's, you know, so many early stage businesses can't afford to have a chief financial officer. So fractional services are a good spot. And I'll throw it out there again, crowncfo.com/hustle. And, you know, I think that's a good segue into your next pillar, which is
on-air lead generation.
Boom.
Yeah.
So you see how we did that, people? I was hoping. Now she gave me a couple notes before we started, so I'm throwing that up near the rim and hoping that that's going to go in. But that's a good example though. Like it's that, you know, the partners want to know what's in it for them. They want to see businesses and leads put in front of them. And you know, certain types of businesses, you talk about the lifetime value. If they have a client, like some people, like you look at your attorney or your accountant or stuff like that. And these are professional services companies. And look, one lead that converts can be ridiculously valuable for those companies over the lifetime. And they know that. And they know that too. And they have a hard time. You know, so some of these spaces are crowded. And remember, as you are building trust and faith and you being a subject matter expert as well. So your recommendation, that's back to the host being the sponsor, or excuse me, the host doing the sponsor read. And, you know, for me and us, we're pretty picky about you talking about being on brand. Like if I'm going to recommend that you reach out to someone, I want to know that they're credible.
Yeah.
So we don't just take anyone, but there's, you know, we like to believe that your guests will begin to have some belief in you. And so let's talk a little bit about the on-air lead gen. How do you define that?
Well, on-air lead generation is where you as the host are running a show that provides value to people that they're going to want a next step. Like you think about it, if you're watching a program or you're, you know, especially when you have a business attached to your podcast in any way, I don't know, like true crime, there's probably a way you could do this. I think sponsor partnership would be a great way to. But for especially for service-based businesses running podcasts, having a really good next step for people. So for example, you have a startup show. So people are listening. They're like, you know, yeah, it's really hard to have this startup business and I have to show up all the time. But if you are able to give them like, here is a tool that is going to help you make it easier for you, then that's good content. It's actually doing them a favor, but it also is attracting leads. So you're able to not just generate cold leads as if they just went to your website and signed up. These are people who are listening to you and dig in your advice and they liked you enough to get off of the platform they're on and then move over and, you know, sign up. And so those are really incredibly valuable leads. And, you know, again, like what you were mentioning, you can also use it for your guests as well. One thing with our guests that really provides value is predictable promotion too. So that's kind of another piece to it. But when it comes to the lead gen, what was that?
Let's talk about predictable promo. Like, okay. How do you define that?
Well, we have a systematic way of getting content across the internet from one episode. And now that's not to take away from having your platforms that work where you're actually, you know, interacting with people and commenting and following and engaging. But to have an episode where you have a guest and you have your business that you're promoting and you've got great content for your audience, this really can be a way to lead into content generation like no other, because you have this nugget of an episode. And we have we actually have a workflow that we've trained like a bunch of VAs on. So we've got our certified virtual production assistant program. So they're trained on our one piece, which is the 40 plus pieces of content from the one episode. And it basically takes that, you know, creates the videos and the written content and the quote graphics and all these things. And then it puts it in a place where the distribution team can distribute it. You know, there's a system for it. So it's not easy, but it's really simple. So everyone's kind of working off the same documents. It's a system similar to what we've used over the years. But when my guests see how much promotion we do for them, again, that's one of the reasons I was able to get that guest duplicate times, because she actually announced it to her whole group about how, yeah, I was on Tiffany's show. And it's like everywhere I looked, there I was again. And I had her on my show again. And I was like, you know, you said that you're on a lot of podcasts. What made this different? And she said, well, yeah, a lot of podcasts put a lot of content out, but you kept bringing it up. You know, then there was a quote and you repurposed it and it was made for the platform. And while it seems daunting, if it's systematic, we've got, you know, workflows and automation so it feels light. So that's also a big part of, you know, what's important to us. So like we talked about,
we do that for our guests. We do that for our guests too, to help mm-hmm. them, let, you know, provide that. And, you know, if you're on the show, usually like the day before, so you don't forget about it, we provide social media friendly images, you talk about the previews. We don't do much video anymore. I'll just be honest that I just don't really feel like people go to video mediums to watch a podcast. It's just tough. We got a lot of people that listen to the audio podcast. We still put these up on YouTube, but I mean, it is what it is. Also, it's pretty quick. You can definitely tell that I have a face made for radio, so it lets me, some of that, it begins to become a little more work. Now, what you're also mentioning as well is that, you know, with VAs, virtual assistant, or whomever. Now at Full Scale, and once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by fullscale.io, helping you find the team you need and implementing the success. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We have almost 200 employees in the Philippines. And
that's awesome.
We don't specialize in VAs, more so programmers, but we do have a 12-person marketing team over there. And that's that assembly line that, look, if you're going to end up being efficient and doing any of the strategic guesting, the partner placement, or the on-air lead gen, you are going to have to begin to develop some kind of assembly line of sorts mm-hmm. to get that done. And that can either be done by you, or you can find other people to do it. I like to believe that most people's time at their business can be spent for higher level things than some of that. And I don't want to discredit the work that goes into it. But, you know, you look at yourself as the CEO or the founder of your business, is your time spent better following up on the relationship that you just created, or chopping something into 40 different pieces of content?
Well, and that's what we're all about, is we create, like, we don't even, it's not even done for you services. We create the systems and the processes and all the background so that people can do it. And honestly, when I talk to any podcaster, I always say we work with serious podcasters. So if you're like, you want a free podcast that like 20 people download, fine by me. Like, go have the best time ever. You know, you're going to love it. But if you're going to do the things, like if you're going to do the promotion and you're going to care about your guests, you're going to give them the white glove experience, you're going to get busy. And so I always tell my host, you're my most important sales team leader. Like, you need to be focused on that and then let the process deal with the rest of it. So I think what you're saying is right on. It literally hurts my guts when they say, oh, I do all of that. And I have to like rip it out of their hands. I'm like, no, if you have a team, use them. If you need a team, you know, companies like Full Scale, like, I'm all about that. But the systems make it easy.
Because we don't do that. We don't offer the same services.
Okay.
So call Tiffany. Call Tiffany for that. But you're talking about creating the blueprint. And that's the mm-hmm. thing is, and you know, I won't tell the whole story because I've told it. Well, you know, why not? So, you know, there's an old story where Thomas Edison, who had created an electric generator on a dam Niagara Falls, and it broke. And they brought him in to try to fix it. And he gets there and there's all these engineers there on top of it. They're on the side of it. They're underneath it. They have all the owner's manuals out. And he says, get out of the way, everyone. He goes over and he finds this big giant hammer in a toolbox. He looks underneath the thing. He winds up and he smacks it and it starts right up. And the next day he sends a $10,000 bill to the city of Niagara, and it says fixing generator. So they send it back to him and they're like, we're going to need you to itemize this, dude. He sends it back two lines. He says, hitting generator with hammer $1, knowing where to hit generator with hammer $9,999.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is until, if you're new to podcasting or you're early stage, I'm just telling you right now, like if you look at us at Startup Hustle and at Full Scale, if we weren't significantly better or more efficient at what we do 450 episodes later, then we have to have a chat with ourselves about that. And there's just so many things that I've talked to people that are in early stages. And I'm like, well, why didn't you try this? Like online booking, you know, we own I'm the founder of Gigabook. Like, of course we do online booking with the software platform that we own. And like, now we're a paid service. If anything, use Calendly. It's free. You're not going to get as much out of it because we collect a lot of data and info. And like, all these things are little, they're like the coins and the jar that you have on your dresser. And they don't seem like a lot. They're 25 cents here, 57 cents there. But when you add them up, they really come up to a lot of money. And all these little things, if you're trying to do them yourself, or you don't, hey, you haven't done it, or you don't have a process, they will eat you alive. It's that, that's that, that proverbial death by a thousand tiny cuts. And well, you gotta make that decision.
And if you could do one thing and get a, you know, 100 things out of it, or do one thing and get one thing out of it, what do you, you know, what's more valuable, you know? And again, it goes back to the value of your own time. If you feel like, I'm a startup, my time, like I need to do everything. People who are really successful leverage delegating. And that's how they're able to scale versus, you know, struggling. I mean, we all know that startup fight at the beginning where we're like, we have to do everything. But when you're
in an owner's manual with it, that's the problem. You just don't get the owner's manual. So like I said, if you want to make a podcast and monetize it, like call Tiffany, like, you know, go to nextstepnation.com, figure it out. Like, cause I'm not kidding. That's not what we do at Full mm-hmm. Scale. We just happen to have the people and the process and we understand it, but you know, we don't offer that. That's not something we do because we don't have the people to support it. Like we could give you advice on it, but we don't even go there. Because we don't do VAs. Like that's not, we are all developers. We just happened to, while we were at it, hire some people for our own needs, you know? Okay. And if you didn't want, if you don't want someone full time, we're not the right company for you. And you talk about dealing with serious podcasters. We deal with serious software companies. So, mm-hmm. you know, we get a lot of people that, a lot of lead gen. I can't even be, you know, one thing I wanted to talk about with the on air lead gen and whether it's on air or off air, or however it gets to you, I can't tell you how many times I have gone, I get, someone fills out something at the fullscale.io website or the startuphustle.xyz site. And then I go to talk to them about what we're doing. They're like, oh man, it's all good. I feel like I already know you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, you know, but it makes sense. And that's that, you know, people come in to, it accelerates the sales process, the whole relationship process. And it's really just like, I mean, it also on some levels now, and maybe not so on episode 12, but now, I mean, I can sit down with a client and I can say, hey, every day, all day, I sit around and talk about this stuff. Like the good, the bad, the ugly, I know where you're at and I understand. I've been there. And, you know, that's that differentiator. And then another thing too, is like it is a differentiator. It's, you know, we don't run into competitive businesses to ours. There's lots of people that sell software development services. In fact, I annoyingly get emailed by 5 to 10 of them a week trying to sell me services that I already sell. And, you know, it's like, I'm like, and they just all look the same. They all look the same. And it's given us a significant advantage when it comes to it. Cause we've got episodes, we'll go and talk to someone and we use our past episodes as saying like, hey, you know, people ask us questions. I'm like, okay, well, we got 6 different episodes on that. Here's 6 hours of firsthand. So they're like, honestly, this episode, I will forward to people for a while that awesome. Want to talk about monetizing a podcast. And that's the whole thing. So you're also creating your own knowledge base and your own knowledge library. So
kind of what blogs used to be.
Yeah. Well, we do those too.
Yeah.
We do those too.
Can I just say too, I just wanted to kind of get this in. I just got this really great tip from a guest. And he was saying a lot of times we marketers are always hounding people about only having one call to action. And on podcasts, you should have 2 because of what you just said, Matt. And that is that people already know you. They're already sold. They want, don't make them go through your funnel. Like get them to the front of the line. And so dropping, you know, hey, if you're listening to this and you want to do XYZ, here's a way here's a good next step. But if you just want to go straight to the front of the line, here's how you get a hold of us, you know? So just don't be afraid to have 2 calls to action. So that's kind of it.
Well,
for marketers, that's kind of a weird thing to say.
Open yourself up. You know, I, oh man. Oh gosh. If I had, I don't even know how many, I've had people reach out from all over the world, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all of them, anything. Like we're out there and we, and the thing, reach out. I'm pretty damn accessible. And, you know, now I'd prefer that you come prepared. But at the same time, you know, I have a high appreciation for the people that invest their time into listening to what we're doing. Now, with that, we do end our episodes of Startup Hustle with what we call the Founders Freestyle. And once again, today's episode of Startup Hustle was brought to you by Fullscale.io. Email me, Deco, D-E-C-O, at Fullscale.io. Go to the Fullscale website, fill out our contact form. We love talking to people about the different things they want to do. I'll be honest, your business may or may not be a great fit for us. We will tell you that. We'll be real upfront about that. We love giving, pride ourselves on giving great advice. Now, speaking of great advice, we like to end the episodes with what I mentioned as a startup, as the Founders Freestyle. And as a founder of what you're doing in your podcast, how would you like to end your episode of Startup Hustle? What kind of advice do you have, or maybe even something that we may have missed?
Well, I just think, you know, at the end of the day, there's the quickest way to monetize your podcast is on air lead gen. Like it's something you can do right now, is just add it clip at the beginning, or add it to your intro script or something, but just have some way to attract leads. And the other thing, the next quickest way is the strategic guesting. And like you said, just ask if you know that there's, and don't take too many things on. That's the other thing. I think that's why I just pick one of those pillars and do something about it. Those are the two quickest ways to money.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to, and thanks for joining me once again with me today. I've got Tiffany Younger, and she's the founder of the OMH agency. And it sounds like an expert at creating the standard operating procedures to make your podcast actually put some money in the bank, create some added value, which could also be created by making it a smoother, more efficient process. I can't really key, if you're going to do a podcast, and this is where I'll just drop a couple gems that I've learned nearly 500 episodes later, is if you want to get to that point where you've got the audience, you got to be prepared to do it consistently. You have to be prepared to do it professionally. You have to come ready, you know, come prepared. And there's, you know, there are people like Tiffany out there that want to help you do that. And, you know, the one thing that, even though you want to monetize your show and really, you know, that's high up there, the two things that make people turn off a podcast faster than anything else are bad audio quality and too many ads. So, you know, if you're going to start your show, I'm not a big fan of shows that start and want to run 3 minutes of ads before we've even gotten in anything. And, you know, you can accomplish the same thing the same way that I and we do here on this show. Like, it can be brief and to the point. People aren't at your show to listen to 5 minutes worth of ads, and that's a great way to get them to turn it off. Now, when it comes to out of the things we talked about today, we have strategic guesting, partner placement, and on-air lead gen. Strategic guesting is without a doubt my favorite. You know, you and people will say, well, I don't, getting guests, it's tough. Look, people like to talk about themselves. Just count on that and start there. And start asking people. Make it easy for them to book your show. Use some kind of booking tool, whether it's Gigabook or something else. Here's the times that I'm available doing this. I also suggest, while you're at it, to do a very small amount of data gathering. These are those 1,000 tiny cuts, like what's your Instagram page, what's your LinkedIn, a couple other things that if you have to go find those on your own, these folks already know where they're looking. And now, you know, before we started asking for some of those points up front, you know, we were just burning a ton of time doing it. And, you know, that would, you know, a couple minutes here, a couple minutes there, or then maybe we find the wrong Tiffany Youngren, although I don't feel like that is, but if your name was Tiffany Smith or something like that, or Ron Jones, or, you know, you get it. It can be difficult. You, next thing you know, you're 10 minutes into trying to find some background about someone. Just ask them. And remember, you're also, your guests doing you a favor by spending their time being on the show, and you're doing them a favor by helping them promote who they are, their cause, or their business. So don't be afraid to ask for a couple things up front. And, you know, sometimes your guest is a great sponsor as well. We don't currently do that and don't really have plans to do it. But if you get enough of a following on your show, some people pay to be on the show for that very reason. So there's a lot of pluses and a lot of reasons to do it. Please don't be the person that sits around and waits for the right time to start their podcast. The right time never comes. It's right now, people. You have everything you need to get this moving. And speaking of moving, it's time for me to move on. So I'll see you down the road, Tiffany.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.